This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number 3 here on a Wednesday afternoon on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this craptacular day outside. Means you're inside.
Not great,
listen to the old radio or watching along on your streaming devices. We opened up today's show talking about the, I wouldn't call it bombshell, but very
cool. I think it is.
You think so? We can call it bombshell?
Yeah. Yeah, when a quarterback of a playoff contending
top
team
25 team
says, "Yeah, I'm out. My school's not honoring my NIL agreement." I think that is a bombshell. Even if it's UNLV, like you say, playoff contending team, they are right now in that mix for being a in the 12 team playoff because Group of Five's highest ranked team ends up going to the playoff, and right now UNLV, folks, it's 3-0. They are ranked. A lot of people believe they could be the winner of the Mountain West Conference. And if you look at it currently, Boise State in the AP poll is 25th. In the coaches poll, UNLV is 23rd. And they are the highest ranked Group of Five team right now in the coaches poll.
And Saluka is going to get the lion's share of the attention because he's the starting quarterback, and he is talking about a difference of $88,000 in NIL. There's also another player, Michael Allen, who is deeper on the depth chart. He says, after three games, I have decided to utilize my redshirt, enter the portal at the end of the season as a redshirt junior. I'm grateful UNLV and wish them nothing but success. Expectations for opportunities, unfortunately, were not met, and I'm excited to continue my football career. Now, what's unclear are what expectations is he talking about? Is he talking about playing time, or is he talking about financial? Because if it's playing time, them's the breaks.
Yeah,
that's how this goes. You know, it's one of those things where you kind of get unrecruited to your team if things aren't, you know, working out for you in the offseason.
Yeah, he posted his highlight film, and when half of your clips are practice, probably not the best thing. He has 108 yards through three games. He's not getting a lot of touches, man.
So. We don't know if it's unclear if there's any kind of NIL component to this. But it just kind of adds fuel to the fire of, like, what the hell is going on at UNLV?
Yeah, when things are going better for your program than they have in 40 years.
And you can't handle
success.
And then
you have this. it's not a good look for Barry Odom's crew at UNLV. And then, you know, the whole fact that in the ESPN article, Pete Thamel wrote, Barry Odom basically says he didn't hear from the head coach. So that's not an NIL agreement that we promised him. They're saying Brennan Marion, the offensive coordinator, and this is, by the way, through Saluka's dad, said that Barry Odom basically said if he didn't come from the head coach, then it means nothing. Brennan Marion, the OC, apparently was the guy who promised $100,000.
Whoops.
It's not good. It's not good. And we put up two poll questions earlier in the show. Is NIL ruining college sports? Currently, 63.2% say yes. 36.8% say, nah, bruh. And I don't think NIL is ruining college sports. I think on the grand scheme, it's leveled the playing field. We get anomaly stories like this. Think of how many NIL deals are out there right now. Is everybody happy with them? No. But we've only, this is the second instance where NIL has really gotten to this point where it makes national headlines, and this is the first instance that it happens during the season, and it becomes the reason why a player leaves midseason. And it's at UNLV, right? It's not at a Power Four conference school. Now, if this starts happening more and more often, like, you got to look at it and say, yeah, then it's not good. But plenty of places, this is working, and it's working really well, and it's leveling a playing field for a lot of schools. I mean, this year, we have more teams than ever that have a legitimate shot at making a playoff, not just because it's a 12-team playoff, but because you do have a more balanced playing field. I mean, the Big 12 is wide open this year. The ACC has Miami and maybe Clemson, but the Big 10 is wide open. The SEC is wide open, and it's not the same old players at the top. Are they blue blood programs at the top? Yep, absolutely. Is Georgia still there? Yep. Is Alabama still there? Yep. Spoiler alert, they've always been there, and they always will be there. But Texas, now back. Ohio State, now back. Tennessee, NIL is a big reason why they are back. Ole Miss, back, right? Oregon, look at Oregon in the top 10. NIL, everybody is saying, Oregon's got all the money in the world, right? It has helped build and fill holes in their roster. Same can be said with Utah. Utah gave every player on their team a truck last year. Tell me that hasn't helped Utah in their situation? Yeah, it absolutely has. So I'm for NIL. I'm for players getting money. And I don't think it's ruining college football. The other poll we put up is UNLV quarterback Matt Sluka in the wrong if he was promised money that hasn't been paid? 81% say no, he is not in the wrong. 20% say, yep,
wrong. I think I would fall in the 20%.
I guess 19%.
Only because of this. And this is my one stipulation. If you or your agent did not get this in writing, it's on you, regardless of how dirty that is.
Yeah.
Regardless, you have got to know better. It and sucks, but you I'm have in, got to know better.
I am in the yes in this as well. Mm-hmm. I think he is in the wrong because, like, this isn't preying on a high school kid and making him promises and saying, well, whatever. You know, this is a guy who started for 4 years at Holy Cross, his first being the COVID year in 2020, so he gets his freebie year. He started for 4 years. He graduated.
He's been around.
He's not some dummy.
Yeah.
And he got a contract in writing that was not anywhere near what he was quote-unquote promised to. When that happens, then it is on you, right? Then the ball is in your court, and if you make that commitment, especially if you go through three games of the season, like, you don't just bail on those guys, because there's 83 other guys on that roster that are also relying on Matt Sluka
to uplift them and give them their opportunities.
I mean,
because their wagons hitch to them too.
And I think it is at that point, it's not right by UNLV, but if you go through this year, if you have the season that you think you're going to have, you're going to be a legend at UNLV.
And you're probably going to get some money.
And you're going to get, you can make
UNLV,
that up.
And then here's where I look at it. If UNLV did make this promise and they are sticking it to them, UNLV, the whole point of them like going to the Pac-12 and getting that invite was to kind of like move things along because they have invested in basketball. They have invested, like I said, I was just down on UNLV's campus for summer league. You can feel the energy down there is different. Like it's not even just the casinos. There's a ton of money in UNLV.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, they want to play with the big boys again, like it's the late 80s and early 90s. And this is so amateurish, and this is just a clown show to the point of like, come on, guys, what the hell are you doing? You're bickering over less than $100,000. And it's just like, I want to offer this. Casey Holdall, Trailblazers team reporter, he had a tweet that I think is both funny and kind of poignant to this whole thing. I love the idea of week-to-week holdouts for more cash. Pass around a collection plate during the weekly radio coaches show. Because it highlights just how stupid all of this is becoming. Yeah. And again, I have pushed back on you with the oversight stuff on some things in college football, but this is like there needs to be a clearinghouse for contracts in college football.
No doubt about
it. A centralized that needs to exist. Beyond that, eh.
And like a texter, Vancouver Ford text line, says it happened with Damian Martinez at Oregon State. Yeah. And he did it before the season started is my big thing, too. But, yeah, Damian Martinez thought he was going to get more money, and they didn't follow through on it. And he said, deuces. I think once the season starts, especially when you get through three games of the season, and there is a report out there that once they started hot, he hired an agent, and the agent tried to leverage it for more money. And at that point, Matt Sluka lost me there. If that is true,
it's also illegal when you're talking about like of the few rules that you can't do. This is literally one of the things you can't do.
So is a coach telling you that they're going to give you $100,000?
I bet you Alabama offered Quinyon Mitchell more.
Yeah. So this is a big stink, and look, it's not going to end well for Matt Sluka. It's not going to end well for UNLV either. I mean, both of them are becoming really toxic in the world of college football right now because he was completing less than 50% of his passes. Not a proficient passer. Great with his legs, though. And who's going to sit there and be like, yeah, this is the guy we want to bring in? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I find that very hard to believe that somebody's going to be like, yep, this is the guy we want, that we're going to hitch our wagon to in the most important position in all of sports. I find that very hard to believe. And then for UNLV, the NIL landscape is so pervasive and is so important now that you can't go down that road and have promises that are not fulfilled. And you have one player, and maybe with, you know, Allen, the second player who's entered the portal, we don't know what expectations for opportunities, unfortunately, were not met. I don't know what that means. It could be on the field. It could be off the field in the NIL landscape. But at the same time, that's a very murky way to put it. So we'll see how this all plays out, though. It's not good for anybody right now, though.
No, it's not. We'll take a little break from college football for a little bit, and we'll whip it around the diamond like the San Diego Padres did last night in a clinching matter. Come up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Rojas on the ground at third. Machado touches third, fires to second. Out at first. Oh my goodness. It's a triple play. It ends the ball game. The San Diego Padres have clinched their spot in the postseason after a magical 2024 campaign. Will this finally be the year for the faithful? A triple play to end the game.
A triple play for the San Diego Padres with Shohei Ohtani on deck for the Los Angeles Dodgers is how the Padres go about clinching their playoff spot in the 2024 season.
That's some good timing right there.
Whoo, buddy.
That is the craziest way to end a game and clinch a playoff spot ever. I mean, that is wild. Why, a triple play is the rarest feat in baseball.
Yep. Well, like, the unassisted triple play is the quintessential. Yeah.
But that is just craziness to end in Major League Baseball, where everybody's paid. They're all paid professionals, base runners. They're all locked in. Boom. That's the way it goes down. That is really cool. And I just go back to, I think it was more impressive. My kid had 4 outs in an inning.
Hey.
You know, my kid turned in his triple play, and they only said you can do a double play, and then he got the 4th out and spiked the ball and said, out 4, walked off. That's the only thing that could have been cooler about that.
Deuces, bitches.
Deuces.
Since falling to 50-50 post-All-Star break,
yeah.
Do you know what the San Diego Padres record is?
Nope.
41-16.
That is really damn good. And they're talented, man.
Without Juan Soto.
It's always been, can the Padres stay healthy? And that's it. And they are healthy, and they're playing really damn good baseball. The most dangerous team in the postseason is the healthy team, or the hot team at the end of the regular season. And when you go 41-16, that is a hot team, and they're 9-1 over their last 10 right now. They're playing really damn good baseball. And at this point in the year, that's a tough thing to do. It is really tough. You think about the teams that are playing the best right now. It is the Padres. And then the Detroit Tigers, man. Mm. The Tigers have been unbelievable as well. I mean, they're on a tear, and they're keeping things feisty in the AL wild card race, too. We only got a handful of games left. And we got some really tight races. You got the Braves, who are trying to hunt down the Mets, and those two teams wrap up a series. I think they wrap it up tomorrow.
They have just been put into a rain delay, so they are going to, under the worst possible circumstances, have to play a doubleheader, which means they're probably going to have to burn through pitchers and DHs, burn through pitchers and their bullpen with 3 days to go until the playoffs start.
Yeah.
It is the worst case scenario for both teams.
They are, and right now, the Braves are half game out of the wild card, a full game behind the Mets. So, like, if they win both of those games tomorrow, they could go from being a half game out to being in the driver's seat of a wild card game and just jump the Mets altogether. Because that would be a wild finish with just 3 games to play.
Wait, so did we just say, so tonight and tomorrow's Mets games against the Braves have been postponed?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, so straight doubleheader on Monday.
On Monday.
In Atlanta. Tonight and tomorrow? Why do they do the no counties tomorrow?
I don't know. This is from Anthony DiComo, Mets beat writer for MLB.com.
Hell yeah. I love this.
It's a for all the marbles kind of situation, but
yeah.
It does, like I said, it kind of exhausts the pitching staffs for both teams.
Don't care. Give me this drama, Major League Baseball. I want this smoke. I want all this drama.
Throw that chaos grenade in there.
You're damn right, because if there's a playoff spot on the line, let's see, Atlanta has got 3 over the weekend to the Kansas City Royals, which are in a wild card race of their own, so they need to be dialed in for that. They'll have an extra day to get ready for that, or 2 extra days to get ready for that series. And then they play the 2 against the Mets. The Mets wrap up the weekend in Milwaukee, Algonquin, for the good land. And if you look at Milwaukee, how much are they going to be, you know, pressing their foot on the gas as they have clinched the division? They know where their lot in life is right now, because they're 3 back of the Phillies and 3 back of the Dodgers. So they're squarely in that third best record of a division leader. So it 1 win by the Phillies or Dodgers, and there's really nothing to play for in that 3-game set for the Milwaukee Brewers. So we could be staring down a really fun Monday if the Mets and the Braves take care of their business. But that's easier said than done, because both these teams have kind of been roller coasters over the course of the season.
If you're a Mariners fan, stay off MLB.com. Stay off MLB.com, and this is why. In the latest news tab, the top story.
Yeah.
Mariners keep hope alive with big win over Houston. The fourth story. Loss to Astros ends Mariners AL West hopes and attention shifts to wild card. Two stories. Four spots apart.
They beat the Astros 8-1 today. They got three games left. They're two games out of the wild card.
This was, might have been the most hungover team in America today. Four errors, Rust?
Yes.
It was
not great baseball, certainly being played.
Yeah.
This from Adam Jude as of this morning. It's down to this for the Mariners.
Ooh, wait, five errors.
If the M's if the M's go 4-0, they need the Royals to lose at least four of their next five, or four of their last five, and the Twins to lose at least two of their last five. However, if the Mariners go 3-1 in their final four, they need the Royals to lose out and the Twins to lose at least three.
Mariners fans are all Braves fans right now. You're all Braves fans. Hopefully they get a sweep over the weekend. As it pertains to the Astros beating the Mariners last night, this morning I saw Bryce Betcher, linebacker for the Ducks, who was a draft pick of the Houston Astros this past summer. And I said, hey, let's go, AL West champs. If you want to know how locked in Bryce Betcher is, he goes, they win? Yeah.
Just knew right away, huh?
They won. He's like, I really haven't been paying attention right now. He's locked into football season right now. Full send on football season. But he knows the Astros won the AOS for the fourth straight year in a row. Seven of the last eight. Crotch chop. You know the only other team in that eight-year run to win the AOS? The Oakland A's.
Oh, God.
The Rangers won a World Series.
Really?
Yeah. 2020, the COVID-shortened season, the Oakland A's won the AL West. Outside of that, the Houston Astros every year. How you feel about that?
That's gross. I don't like it.
Dominance, dude.
I don't like
it. It's dominance. Yep.
No, really, the A's, they don't deserve nice things.
Yeah, they won it by seven games in 2020 because, again, they only played 60 games that year. So that is actually right on brand for the A's to do something like that.
Yeah, I guess they do have that one every, like, 7 years thing where they just kind of pop up and go, surprise!
Yep.
That's the old Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
And that's got to be, like, the most dejecting part of where the Mariners have been, right? I brought this up last week that, is as painful as it is, Jerry DePoto saying 54% is going to be the reason why the Mariners don't make the playoffs this year. Because the Astros won 54% of their games and won the division.
Mm-hmm.
The wild card right now is held by a team that has won 55%. The other teams that they're in the mix for are at 53%.
Yeah,
which would mean 54% get you in.
And, you know, broken clock, whatever.
I don't know. It's
I know it's a broken clock, but at the
it is of all the numbers in the world.
It has to be 54% for Mariners fans. You don't deserve that.
No, to drive it home.
Is Jerry DePoto's daughter's classmate gonna dox them by putting their address on?
Yeah, really.
It's tough out here.
That sucks, dude.
Pivoting away from baseball, let's go back to some. Let's talk a little bit of NFL because we haven't talked any NFL today.
I love it.
There's not a lot of news and notes coming out of the NFL, but there is a lot of injuries that are going to have a lot of impacts. And Josh Allen wants a little take backsies. We'll get to that and more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Zone update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Take a look around the NFL right now. There is a heaping pile of injuries all across the league. Nobody's really been able to escape the injury bug, as it were. The Raiders suck, but they're piling up injuries. The 49ers were supposed to be good. They're piling up injuries, but they may have gotten some relatively good news. Brock Purdy was a limited participant in practice. George Kittle looks like he might might be a go, but I have a reeling suspicion that the 49ers are lying through their teeth because that's what they do. They think that that actually makes a difference in how things actually work because they think the Belichick model, it makes sense. I really hope the NFL just absolutely shatters that. But we mentioned this the other day when you were talking about how great the Bills have been playing and Josh Allen may or may not have implied that they're better off without Stephon Diggs. And he's backtracking from it. I don't think he should have because I don't think anything he said was wrong. Do you, Dusty?
No, I don't think so. But I understand why he would just want to kill it right now and just be like, no, it's not what I meant.
It's not what he meant, but it's what was what he meant. But he, in the press conference today following practices, I know there's a lot of people out talking out there. Again, I'm not trying to tear down anybody. I've loved everybody that I've ever played with. And you don't have to tear other people down to build each other up. And we're building each other up right now, and that's all we're trying to do and trying to stay together as a team. We're really caring about each other, and everybody in this building's got that feeling.
Yeah. I have no issues with it. I don't. And, I mean, we all do read into what somebody says, but I think there is a lot of honesty in what he was saying about this year's Buffalo Bills and that nobody does care about touches or how many times they get the ball. And that's, I mean, he said it, and it's true. And we all just jump to, well, we all know one guy who really did care about how many touches and targets he got, and he's no longer there anymore. So it's just an interesting time for these comments to be coming out. But for Josh Allen, like, he's just doing damage control in something where I think that's a really good way to put it, though, too, is that, like, I'm about building people up, not tearing anybody down. And I was just trying to build my guys up, gas them up a little bit, and he did. And damn, they're 3-0, and they're playing really good football because it's not just being 3-0. They're beating the hell out of teams, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have the highest point differential in the entire NFL right now, and they had a close game out the gate to the Arizona Cardinals where they kind of stumbled early and then turned the gas on in the second half, but then you beat teams 31-10 and 47-10 in the National Football League.
That doesn't happen.
No.
No, those are college scores.
In 10 quarters, like you take that Arizona game.
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, they beat them 24-11 in that second half. So what they're doing is just absolutely incredible.
Ever since that second half, they figured out the whatever the magic sauce is. And
Josh Allen running the damn ball.
They're just pouring it all over everything and slapping teams around. The NFL also announced that...
And really bad teams, too.
Yes. The NFL announced they will uphold Derwin James' suspension, one-game suspension, for his hit on Pat Freiermuth. And, well, Jim Harbaugh is none too happy.
No way.
No, I know. He said that there was not a defensive player. He changed his course, and I thought Derwin's helmet was stiff-armed by Mr. Freiermuth. I love how he calls him Mr.
Mr. Freiermuth.
I thought it, the stiff arm.
That's that's your PE slash science teacher.
Yep, right. God, that is. Definitely went to school in Iowa.
Yeah, he's out there with the khaki shorts, the polo shirt tucked
those
in.
And shorts are
and
real
those
short.
Socks are, I mean, all the way up to his knees.
What's
he
longer?
Might be a shop teacher. He might be a wood shop teacher, yeah, too. Mr. Freiermuth, the wood shop teacher. He's got
He doubles up. He's not just wood shop. Yeah. He coaches something. And it's not football, basketball, baseball. He's the throwing coach. Like
wrestling
discus,
coach.
Yeah. Wrestling, like, yeah. And yeah. When he's out there, the whistle, the length of the string on the whistle is certainly longer than the length of his shorts.
Yes, 100%. That is Mr. Freiermuth right there.
Got the whistle ball hanging down by the other two.
Hot dang.
Yes, 100%. 100%. Wow. 100%.
That's a good one. 100%.
That's a good rate.
You
that's
like
a
that?
Good clip. That's moving. Good. I don't care what it is.
Goodness.
It could be like 100, you know.
Parsecs.
Feet.
Polivos.
A lot. It's fast.
Yeah, Polivos. That was one of those. It's definitely one of those. Apparently my P's, my plosives are ruining me. Harbaugh wanted to say, I thought the stiff arm caused his head to make the contact, and I thought the contact was first with the forearm, then the shoulder, then the head. And this isn't Derwin James's first, second, third, or even fourth run-in with this, which is why the NFL said, nah, dog, you're getting suspended.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, it was putting his head down, and it's not, it doesn't matter that Mr. Freiermuth went out there and wood carved that defense. It was that he led with his head, he crown of his helmet, went down. I don't care. Like, really, Jim?
This is
James
seventh
gonna be
unnecessary roughness flag in the NFL. Second most.
Is Derwin James going to be the difference this week? Because, I don't know, your
missing
quarterback
everyone.
Is hurt.
Both your tackles are hurt.
Yikes.
There's injuries up and down the NFL rosters, and that's what's really interesting right now is you take a look at, I mean, who's really, really healthy right now, and it's the teams that are winning for the most part, shockingly. You know, injuries play a massive, massive factor in the NFL. And as we head into this week, you know, the Chiefs are pulling Kareem Hunt up because they are decimated in the backfield. You take a look at the 49ers are trying to get healthy in time because, heaven forbid, they start 1-3.
That would not be good, Bob. But it's not a death sentence to them if they do start 1-3. It's definitely not good, though, and you're going to have to claw your way out of that hole. They play the Patriots. The Patriots have to come all the way across the country for that game. I would play it as cautious as you possibly can, but they're going to need Brock Purdy. I mean, that's going to be that's apparent, especially if, you know, with all of the injuries that they have. And, like, look, we talked about this yesterday, but, like, Javon Hargrave being done for the year. Mm-hmm. This just may be one of those cursed years for the 49ers. Starting the offseason with all the distractions. Yeah, Debo already hurt. Kittle's already hurt. McCaffrey's on the IR. Hargrave is out. It doesn't look like Greenlaw is anywhere close to being back. Like, sometimes these years happen, and you just got to go through it. And when you start having the snowball effect, it's almost better just to be like, screw it. We are going to see. We're not going to play these guys until they're healthy. A 1-3 start would not be good. But the alternative is you have somebody and you throw them out there, they get hurt again, and your whole season gets shot because of it.
Dude, are you worried about the Cowboys in that same vein? Do they is this a pull the plug situation? Because the way we've heard Micah Parsons and now we've heard Jerry Jones.
They can do it naturally. I mean,
you're not wrong.
That's it.
I tried to be nice. I tried to ask it professionally. Are you worried about the Cowboys? Like, I know.
But I mean, it'll be.
We'll talk about this game tomorrow.
It's like the Blazers. It's a natural tank.
We know, like, they're playing the Giants on Thursday Night Football. As bad as the Giants are, if I told you the Giants won Friday morning,
week,
you wouldn't be surprised, right?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, because we have seen stretches where Daniel Jones looks like moderately competent, right? Like, and if he plays moderately competent, the thing I worry about for Dallas in this one is that the New York Giants pass rush looked really damn good against Cleveland.
Well, I mean, it should. With that
I mean, everybody has. But I think we do forget that they built that thing to win in that division, where if you have Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, yeah, those guys all get to the quarterback.
They're all terrorists.
Yeah.
Absolute quarterback terrorists.
It's their offense.
Last little NFL note here is that the Washington Commanders, Austin Eckler is out with a concussion, which...
That's terrible for him, but
also not surprising.
Yeah, former Charger.
I mean, that's just part of the deal that comes with Eckler. Looking at the Cowboys, looking at the Giants, looking at this division, this was the team that I picked, the Commanders, to be the dark horse winner of this division. How many more weeks do you need to go to see the Commanders before you go, maybe that is the best team in the division? Like, I know the Eagles are still there.
A lot more.
Okay.
A lot more.
Because okay. I've been more impressed with them than I have the Eagles, but that also might be maybe because the bar was so low for the Commanders.
Yes, and we do see rookies come out and pop, and then defensive coordinators get a book on them, and they start slowing down a little bit, take away what their strengths are, and we're still learning what makes Jaden Daniels tick. Because he has been the rookie that has come out of the gate and been absolutely exceptional. But at the same time, like, we see sophomore slumps in the NFL where there's a full offseason for coordinators to get a book on a guy. It usually happens, though, about midway through the season, and it especially happens the second time you see your divisional opponents, right? And so I'm going to have to see a lot more from any of these rookie quarterbacks before I make a determination any way, shape, or form on them and their success. They do look really good right now, but at the same time, they beat the Giants, not a good football team. Mm-hmm. And that Bengals defense was not good.
No.
And they were without their two of their three best defensive linemen outside of Trey Hendrickson, with Sheldon Rankins and B.J. Hall out. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Commanders right now, but they're winning football games, and the schedule will ramp up. You know, I think going to Arizona is going to be a good test for them. And then they have Cleveland, which, good Lord, they're just bad. But then they have Baltimore left on the schedule. They have all their division opponents twice. They play the Steelers. We'll learn a lot more as we go on. It's off to a really good start with Jaden Daniels, though, undeniably.
I want to wrap up today's show with like one of those crazy feats of human history. How far would you think someone could swim nonstop without assistance? We'll find that out here coming up on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. So wrapping up today's show, I stumbled across this earlier this morning, and it was one of those insane features of humanity. Neil Agus swam an unassisted 52-hour, 87-mile swim.
What?
Like on purpose?
Unbelievable.
Where? Wait.
It is an endurance swim around Malta. The island of Malta, okay? He's 38 years old.
How many people die doing this?
I don't know. He said it was not a swim for me. It was a swim for Malta. And he was like, you know, it was a big, big deal. He's an ultra marathon athlete. The original record was 131 kilometers around Greece in 60 hours and 55 minutes last year. So they're working to verify the record with verified.
60 hours?
Yeah. So this guy went, but this guy went 9 kilometers further in 5 less hours.
Those numbers are just bonkers.
Yes.
They're unassisted.
Imagine being awake for 55 hours, doing something for 55 hours.
Straight. So is he eating in the water? Is he hydrating? Is he in the water the whole time?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that there's, at some point, he's got like life jackets that he's sitting on. I guess it's unassisted.
It's unassisted, so he's floating. Now, there's probably a crew right alongside him.
There's got to be a boat nearby, feeding that guy some Nutri-Grain bars or something.
But, I mean, yeah, you know? This is insane.
What in the world? Why would you do that? Because, I mean, if you don't succeed, you're going to die.
So, apparently, he swam to raise awareness about the state of Malta's marine habitat.
Oh, gosh. Really? I guess we're talking about in Portland. What is Malta's marine habitat? What's going on there?
They aren't saying it's in. I would imagine it's probably being endangered or interrupted by tourism.
All right, guys swimming for 60 hours around it,
or people polluting it because it. Because
there's no way he peed in that water.
Yeah, well, you know,
he held it for 50 hours.
That's more impressive than the swim.
But I just saw the distance.
I told
you
kids to go before we left the house.
I'm sorry. I said it was. He did it 5 hours faster. Okay. He did it 8 hours faster. It was 52 hours.
Yeah.
140 kilometers, which equates to 87 miles. Brother, swimming a quarter of a mile. I would imagine. I'm going to throw a totally stupid number out there. 75% of the American population cannot swim a quarter of a mile. I bet you.
I bet you're probably low.
I bet you're right. Yeah.
I bet you're low.
Yeah.
Quarter of a mile is like people do not realize how far swimming a lap
that's still
around a track is.
Yeah, 1,250 plus feet.
Yeah, it's brah.
Yeah.
Swimming like from one side of the Willamette to the other would whoop most people's butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I think that you were way off on that.
You think it's a lower number, like 50%?
What?
You think 50% of people could do it?
No, I think your guess is low.
I think it's like 10%.
Maybe. Oh, okay. Oh. So you think it's the other way around?
Do it.
Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. I said 75% could.
Oh, I was thinking couldn't.
Yeah, I was just giving people just like a benefit of the doubt. No. You could do it. Like, but I'm saying like it would be difficult.
I think that it's like 10% of people could do it. Yeah,
just, it's not
a big number.
140 kilometers.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Good Lord. I want like just think about. I know people that can't even swim.
Yeah.
And then the ones that can swim that just can't do it. There's a lot of those too.
I could swim before I could walk, but I don't know how far I could go, man. That's tough.
I ain't going that far. Well, mm-hmm. I could go a quarter of a mile, but it would be ugly.
Oh God,
it would be ugly. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We ride again, both of us back in studio. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time. But that's again, Sook on the Fan.
Bye. Eat the sack and call it good. Kareem Hump. If you guys are going to suck hard.